I'm Abigail Galvan. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
And our message to every child in America is that you are perfect exactly the way God made you.
Roars of applause for President Trump during his 2025 joint session of Congress as he vows to protect children from gender ideology.
Really, the planting of hope on a pro-life flag.
Celebrating the opening of new pro-life pregnancy centers in the heart of an abortion sanctuary city.
Abortion has become a weapon of mass destruction.
A U.S. congressman calls on Catholics to stay vigilant in the fight to protect life, as he is awarded for his work in protecting the unborn.
I've already signed an executive order requiring a mandatory death penalty for anyone who murders a police officer. And tonight I'm asking Congress to pass that policy into permanent law.
Standing ovations from Republicans throughout President Trump's 2025 joint session of Congress on Tuesday evening. As you saw, the president received cheers when promoting the death penalty for those who take the life of an officer of the law. The Catechism states the death penalty is inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. Several other pro-life issues were touched on, including banning men from playing in women's sports and moves the Trump administration is working on to protect children from transgender ideologies in schools.
I also signed an order to cut off all taxpayer funding to any institution that engages in the sexual mutilation of our youth. And now I want Congress to pass a bill permanently banning and criminalizing sex changes on children and forever ending the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body.
The president called the ideologies toxic and a form of child abuse. Demonstrators targeted Tesla stores across the nation in recent days to protest federal spending cuts by the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, which is headed by Elon Musk. Musk's DOGE team is seeking to eliminate more than 90% of foreign aid contracts at the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. It was a talking point the president touted during his address to Congress. USAID provides humanitarian assistance to impoverished countries around the world, offering food, health care, including vaccines and prenatal care, as well as disaster relief and clean water. Catholic Relief Services, which is one of USAID's biggest non-governmental recipients, says that these cuts have led to 110,000 people in Kenya alone, including children and pregnant and nursing mothers, left without treatment for malnutrition and immunization against disease. The organization warns that the consequences can be deadly. The Vatican's charity Caritas has warned that millions of people could die as a result of the, quote, ruthless decision to stop U.S. international funding. But USAID also promotes ideologies contrary to church teaching. It advocates LGBTQ inclusion and the advancement of gender ideology around the world. It is also a major contributor to the international distribution of contraceptives, the use of which it promotes. According to the Guttmacher Institute and KFF.org, both of which are pro-abortion groups, some $600 million is provided annually by USAID for family planning and reproductive health around the world. Guttmacher says the funding is estimated to provide more than 47 million women and girls with, quote, modern contraceptive care. On Capitol Hill, the House Judiciary Subcommittee held a hearing looking into the alleged weaponization of the Department of Justice by the Biden administration. As EWTN Pro-Life Weekly has reported over the years, multiple people have been arrested and imprisoned for advocating for life outside of abortion clinics. Many of these arrests were made under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, also known as the FACE Act. Many Republicans and pro-life organizations claim that the FACE Act is used to target pro-lifers who are exercising their First Amendment rights.
Now, the Biden DOJ engaged in a systematic campaign to abuse the power of the federal government against pro-life advocates, while that same DOJ ignored hundreds of acts of vandalism and violence against pro-life churches, pregnancy help centers, and other advocates.
President Trump has pardoned all of the pro-life advocates that were imprisoned and arrested. The Thomas More Society is calling the president to promote the rule of law within the Justice Department. Pro-life advocates may be breathing a sigh of relief in Idaho after the Justice Department said it would likely drop a Biden-era federal lawsuit. Idaho has some of the strongest pro-life laws in the country, with protections for the unborn throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. The Biden administration sued Idaho, arguing the state's federal law required doctors to perform abortions in emergency situations if a patient's health or life were at serious risk. Idaho pushed back, saying that their state law allows for abortions in life-threatening situations and that the Democratic administration was trying to improperly expand its exception. Dr. Ingrid Skop is a practicing obstetrician gynecologist and the vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Dr. Skop, you are on the front lines of seeing pro-life laws in action. Can you clear up any confusion for us? Is there any pro-life law that actually prohibits a doctor from performing an emergency abortion if the mother's life is at risk?
Yeah, thanks. This is great news, this action, because we see that the prior administration was trying to utilize EMTALA in a coercive effort to promote abortion. No state, including Idaho, does not allow a doctor to use his clinical judgment to determine what intervention is needed in a medical emergency and to provide that. So doctors can already intervene to protect a mother's life in Idaho. EMTALA, by the way, requires evaluation, stabilization, and transfer if needed, but it considers both the mother and her unborn child to be the patient in need of care.
There were some doctors in Idaho that alleged that they had to airlift women out of the state to get an emergency abortion. Do you see a circumstance where a doctor would not work on a patient right in front of them?
No, and in fact, this is a very dangerous action to say, because again, Idaho law allows the doctor to intervene immediately. And if that is an abortion that is needed to protect that mother's life, the law already allows it. But we can all understand that airlifting a patient out of state is going to take time. If she's in a true medical emergency, then she needs that intervention at that moment. And again, that's what the state law allows. And EMTALA confirms that that patient must be given the emergency care that she needs.
Thank you for this much needed clarity, Dr. Skop.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
In Maryland, advocates spoke at a hearing about the importance of several pro-life bills proposed to save the lives of the preborn and support mothers. One bill would require the Department of Health to collect data on the costs of birth, pregnancy care, and abortion in the state. The bill aims to accurately measure how public investments in reproductive health care are serving the needs of pregnant women. Another would require the state of Maryland to report abortion data to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Maryland is only one of four states, along with New Hampshire, New Jersey, and California, that don't report data to federal officials. And House Bill 108 would require a doctor listen for a fetal heartbeat. It would also prohibit an abortion once a heartbeat is detected.
So much happens with the engine that is our heart, and it is the scientifically proven, indisputable way for us to know that there is sign of life within that child, within that human. It's the uninterrupted universal sign of life. The only thing that does interrupt that heartbeat in this state legally is an abortionist scalpel or an abortion pill meant to stop that child's heartbeat.
Abortion is legal in Maryland at any stage of pregnancy. Voters constitutionalized a so-called right to abortion in the 2024 election. That hasn't stopped pro-abortionists from trying to expand services.
Even in states like Maryland, where abortion is protected, there are still very real issues with accessing care, especially for our most vulnerable populations. We still have a majority of counties in Maryland that do not have an abortion provider, and providers are leaving the field. It is exceptionally challenging for patients across the board.
They are looking to establish a public health abortion grant program by tapping into some $25 million collected by Affordable Care Act insurers with Maryland House Bill 930. The ACA prompts insurers to collect a $1 premium per person per month. That premium is specifically set to be used for abortion. That money in Maryland has been sitting in an account unused. Now, organizations like Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics want to use it because they say they are running out of funding from other sources, including BAF or the Baltimore Abortion Fund.
We have patients and clients sitting in waiting rooms across the state hoping at the last minute, the 11th hour, that BAF will come through and close their funding gap so that they can be seen, especially for later care clients. And our case managers have to tell them, I'm sorry, we don't have enough. The best that we can do is give you a ride home or buy a plane ticket so that you can get back. For later care clients, that means they're often remaining pregnant and forced to give birth against their will. It is sickening that this is happening, and it is happening with increasing frequency.
The pro-abortion and pro-life laws still have to make their way to the state Senate for hearings before they are voted on. Wyoming is adding new regulations for surgical abortions. Governor Mark Gordon signed legislation that requires a clinic to be licensed as an ambulatory surgical center before it can perform the deadly procedure. The law requires abortion clinics to have a physician with admitting privileges to a hospital located within 10 miles of the clinic. Doctors must also report each surgical abortion to the Wyoming Department of Health. Abortion is legal in Wyoming until viability, which is around 24 weeks. Several pro-life laws are making their way through the Missouri state legislature. State Representative Brian Seitz, along with other lawmakers, have introduced numerous pieces of legislation, including a personhood bill, a fetal heartbeat bill, a born-alive protection act, as well as a bill to define reproductive health care related to sex.
One sentence definition in that reproductive health care is health care that is needed to support the reproduction of human beings and care of the reproductive organs, matching an individual's sex at birth.
Representative Seitz says that the definition of sex for reproductive care is necessary because some lawmakers are trying to weave transgender ideology into the abortion fight. The state of Iowa has become the first state to remove so-called gender identity protections from its civil rights code. The legislation, approved on February 28th, creates explicit legal definitions of female and male based on a person's biological sex. It rejects the idea that a person can transition to another gender. The approval comes after several years of action from Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and state Republicans to restrict transgender students from using bathrooms, locker rooms, and participating in sports that do not align with their biological sex. The new law goes into effect on July 1st. Iowa is also working to inform women of the dangers of chemical abortions and their window of opportunity to reverse an abortion if they take the abortion pill mifepristone. Chemical abortions account for more than half of abortions committed nationwide. Iowa House lawmakers advanced a bill that would require in-person administration of the abortion pill mifepristone, receive written consent from the patient before prescribing the pill, and require doctors to inform their patients of all the risks that are involved with taking mifepristone. The bill also requires physicians to let women know that it may be possible to reverse the effects of mifepristone with abortion pill reversal treatment. The bill now moves to the Iowa House Health and Human Services Committee. New York City, which is considered a hub for abortion, now has two new pro-life pregnancy centers to give women the option for life. Compass Care opened one clinic in Brooklyn and another in the Bronx this week. According to NY Vital Statistics, Brooklyn and the Bronx have the highest number of abortions of any counties in the nation. Compass Care offers baseline OB care like pregnancy tests, blood tests, and ultrasounds. They also connect women to resources to help support her through and after pregnancy. I had the opportunity to speak with Compass Care's CEO, Reverend Jim Harden, just moments after they cut the ribbon at one of their new centers. He shared his joy with me and the stark reality of abortion in New York City. Reverend Jim Harden, thank you so much for joining me. How did the ribbon cutting go?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's an honor to be with you. The ribbon cutting was very exciting. So many people from the Bronx came out, pastors and community leaders, supporters from all over, just excited to see the planting of hope on a pro-life flag. We have this is a pro-life outpost. There are 87 abortionists in the New York City metro area. The Bronx has 11,000 abortions every single year, and we are the only ethical medical alternative for women that's available to women in the Bronx. And so we are very, very happy. Yesterday, we actually served 7 women here, and I'm actually sitting in one of our medical exam rooms. So right here in the Bronx, you can hear some of the sirens going by right now, but very exciting moment. And we had so many people that just are so happy we're here right now, and so are we.
Well, that sounds incredible. And I just mentioned a few of the services Compass Care offers women. Can you expand on these services that the two new clinics will offer?
Yes. We offer baseline OB care, which includes state-of-the-art pregnancy confirmation, gestational age determination, which we can tell exactly how far along a woman is in her pregnancy, which is important based on, you know, if she's interested in getting an abortion, that impacts the type of abortion she would receive. And so that we can help her understand the risks and side effects, the terrible risks and side effects associated with abortion, including, 42% increase in risk of breast cancer, 55% increased risk of future preterm deliveries, and 80% increased risk of a negative mental health diagnosis. If she's going through, if she's pursuing chemical abortion, which is now 60% of all abortions in America, we can tell her the truth that it causes sepsis and hemorrhaging and death. And yet she's being, you know, fraudulently told it's safer than Tylenol. So we do that. We also do STD testing and treatment. We do abortion, chemical abortion reversals. If a woman starts the chemical abortion process, we can actually intervene with very safe, natural progesterone therapy, emergency progesterone therapy, to reverse the effects and save her baby, as well as her for her reproductive health.
That's incredible. And can you share in what neighborhoods specifically in Brooklyn and the Bronx did you choose to open these pregnancy centers and why?
Well, right now I'm sitting in Grand, right off of Grand Concourse. Mm-hmm. This is in the Bronx. It's a perfect location, very central, very, very safe. In fact, I'm looking out the window here, believe it or not, at a boulevard park. It's just wonderful, right near Yankee Stadium, very accessible. Women feel safe coming here. This is a state-of-the-art facility, and we want to convey to women that this is a safe place to come. And we can dignify her with not just excellent care, but a facility that reduces her anxiety, so that she can think more clearly about the decision in front of her. Same thing with the Brooklyn office. As you know, Brooklyn, Kings County has the most abortions of any county in America. It is technically the abortion headquarters in the United States. Manhattan, of course, is home to Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business probably on the planet, and is also home to Danco Laboratories, which is responsible for chemical abortion, bringing chemical abortion into the United States. So this is very much the center. We're in Flatbush, Brooklyn, off of Flatbush Avenue, main thoroughfare. Everyone knows where that is, and we're very, very accessible. Also, state-of-the-art facility, and just, you know, very happy. The nurses love being there. Patients love being there. And so we're able to communicate when she walks in the door, just by virtue of the facility itself and where it is, a level of we care for you, and we care enough to create a space that is safe where you can actually, your anxiety is reduced, and we can help you through this decision making process.
What an incredible message to send to these women. And how many women a year are you hoping to serve through these centers?
Well, that's a great question. At this point, our projection is 6,000. Women across Compass Care's New York State network. With respect to Brooklyn and the Bronx facilities, we're probably near about 3,000. And we anticipate, interestingly enough, that those numbers will double every year. Our goal is, in fact, we've doubled over the last 2 years, 3 years, we've doubled in terms of patient load. It's just amazing the need that is out there. And, you know, our goal is to serve 40,000 women, or actually help 40,000 women have their babies, save that many lives in the next 10 years through these facilities. For every 100 black babies born in Brooklyn, 114 are killed in abortion. For every 100 black babies born in the Bronx, 84 are aborted. You know, in Manhattan, that number is 143. It's gut-wrenching. It's ridiculous. It's a travesty. It's very difficult to imagine the horror. But the black community is being decimated. The Hispanic community is being targeted. And it's our job as Christians to be a prophetic voice, but also a prophetic presence, to demonstrate the truth that we are all made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable. My hope is that our Compass Cares presence in New York, the Bronx in particular, as well as Brooklyn, will continue to grant courage to the people, the Christian pro-life people in the city.
Amen. Reverend Jim Hardin, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, a special award for a religious sister who is dedicated to walking with parents who receive devastating diagnoses about their children.
More people are alive today. More people live with a greater sense of dignity because of the work of Chris Smith.
Plus, a staunch advocate for life honored for his good works. We bring you Representative Chris Smith's fearless pro-life acceptance speech when we return.
None of us have the luxury of growing weary.
Representative Chris Smith's strong words at the annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, where he was awarded the Christi Fidelis Laici Award. The award is given to a layperson who demonstrates service and good works to the church. It was created to acknowledge those following St. John Paul II's call to spread the gospel in ways that are new in order, methods, and expression. Congressman Smith represents New Jersey's 4th District. This is his 23rd term as a congressional leader. He is the founder and co-chair of the Congressional Pro-Life Caucus to protect mothers and children and develop pro-life leaders in and out of Congress. Some of his pro-life legislative work includes authoring America's comprehensive anti-human trafficking laws designed to prevent modern-day slavery, protect victims, and increase criminal penalties against traffickers. He wrote the nation's first law establishing a national umbilical cord blood stem cell program for pro-life research and cures.
It is a huge battle, and we will not shrink from our responsibility. But abortion has become a weapon of mass destruction. We all have very deep concerns about nuclear weapons, other weapons of mass destruction, but abortion is a weapon of mass destruction. More than 66 million babies have been aborted in the U.S. since 1973, a numbing death toll of children that equates with every man, woman, and child living in the nation of France, or looked at another way, more than the populations of Texas, Florida, and Illinois combined. What a loss of life. As never before, we need to expose abortion methods. You know, there's a segment of society, particularly the elite, especially the media, that have chosen to be blind to the realities of brutally dismembering helpless babies or poisoning babies with pills. You know, the pill is baby poison. The risk poised to women from what is euphemistically called medication abortion must be exposed as well, including the sham trials that purported to demonstrate safety, non-reporting of adverse events, and dispensing this dangerous pill by mail.
Representative Smith also called for the protection of pro-life pregnancy centers, which he said are under attack from lawmakers, including his state of New Jersey's own Governor Phil Murphy. Vice President J.D. Vance was also at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. He spoke about his love of the faith and the need to protect pro-life advocates and religious freedom.
We know, of course, the last administration liked to throw people in jail for silently praying outside of pro-life clinics. We know that they like to harass pro-life fathers of seven, very often Catholic fathers, for participating in the pro-life movement. And we know that the last administration wanted to protect taxpayer-funded abortion right up into the moment of birth. And on every single one of those issues, in 30 short days, Donald J. Trump has gone in the exact opposite direction between ensuring that we have an opportunity to protect the rights of the unborn in the first place, and importantly, protecting the religious liberty of all people, but in particular Catholics. I think that we can say that President Trump, though not a Catholic himself, has been an incredibly good president for Catholics in the United States of America.
Vance went on to say that the Trump administration will be the biggest defender of religious liberty and the rights of conscience in the United States and around the world. To see Representative Chris Smith and all the speakers who attended the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, visit the EWTN YouTube page. In the state of Georgia, where pregnancy-related death rates are among the worst in the nation, more mothers with high-risk pregnancies will now have greater access to health care. In support of the Georgia Healthy Babies Act, several insurance companies and a health technology company are combining forces to offer remote health care. That includes providing pregnant and postpartum women with maternal hypertension and diabetes access to remote patient monitoring devices. Licensed clinical professionals will also provide personalized health coaching to participants, monitoring these mothers and intervening to avoid possible complications. Remote monitoring is offered for up to 90 days postpartum. A religious sister working in Ukraine received the 2025 Guardian of Life Award from the Pontifical Academy for Life this week at the Vatican. Sister Gustina leads a perinatal hospice for parents who receive a life-ending or life-limiting diagnosis for their pre-born children. She helps couples cope with the difficulty of their diagnosis, helping them embrace life with all of its challenges, and accompanies parents who have experienced perinatal or postnatal death. It is the first perinatal hospice in Ukraine. During the award ceremony, Sister Gustina said in part that any threat to the life and dignity of the person strikes the church deeply in its heart. We are convinced that there is no foot too tiny to not leave its mark in this world. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to like and follow us on our social media channels. You can find us at EWTN Pro-Life on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, EWTN.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.